rapture and resurrection. It is clear that the idea of the pre-tribulation rapture has a 19th century origin. The theory is attributed to John Nelson Darby, who lived from 1800 to 1882, but it is also true that the intense interest in prophecy and all things eschatological at the turn of the 19th century, encapsulated by dispensationalism, had much to do with popularizing the hypothesis. Scholarly research has shown that the Greek and Latin church fathers clearly seem to exclude any thought of a pre-tribulation rapture. If the theory were biblical, there wouldn't be any reason to be deterred by its late origin. However, as often happens, once the idea became popular, it wasn't long before groups which had entertained it began to get very defensive about any suggestion that the pre-tribulation rapture theory might not be the ultimate answer, and so it was very soon enshrined as sacred doctrine. The term rapture, of course, is not a biblical word, but a theologically developed term coming from Latin, not the Greek or Hebrew. It means literally a snatching, and in the context of 1 Thessalonians 4, a snatching up that is to meet the Lord in the air. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. What this verse in 1 Thessalonians does demonstrate is just what 1 Corinthians 15:50-53 teaches, namely, that at the Lord's return, the second advent, those believers who are alive will be resurrected without physical death, while believers who have previously passed on will be resurrected first. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:50-57. To apply the theological construct, we would only call the living resurrection a rapture, that is, a snatching up. But this is a distinction that the Scripture does not dwell upon at all, despite the prevalence of the term in contemporary evangelical Christianity. As far as the Bible is concerned, this whole event is the resurrection which occurs at Christ's return at the end of the tribulation, as our Lord explains in the book of Matthew. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through 31. When we add 1 Corinthians to the mix, we get the complete picture. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. 1 Corinthians 15:23 and 24. The words in verse 24, then the end constitute the third echelon of the resurrection, so that we have in that passage the entire sequence, namely, one, Christ, this first echelon of the resurrection has already been completed; two, those who are his at his coming, believers resurrected at the second advent, both living and dead; and three, the end, that is, believers, living and dead since the second advent, resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years, just before the commencement of the eternal state. 1 Corinthians 3:50-57 supports this view precisely. There are some textual issues with verse 51 which shall be addressed. Paul's main point is that flesh and blood cannot enter that eternal state, verse 50, meaning that there will have to be a final resurrection. And this, of course, is what all Old Testament believers understood from reading Daniel and Isaiah. For example, he will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. The mystery in 1 Corinthians verse 51, that is the previously unrevealed divine truth now made more explicit by Paul under divine revelation, is that this transformation into the new body of eternal life will actually occur in stages, with the next stage taking place at Christ's return at the last trumpet, rather than awaiting the end of history in toto. But I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that is, live in eternity with the Lord, nor can corruption inherit incorruption, that is, we need the resurrection to live forever. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Not all of us will fall asleep, but all of us will be changed in that moment of time, in the blink of an eye, at the final trumpet blast. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we, that is, believers still alive, too will be changed at that time, that is, the Lord's second advent return. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality, that is, in order to live forever with our Lord. And when this corruptible body puts on incorruption, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then will be fulfilled this prophecy which has been written, Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where is your victory, O death? Where is your stinger, O death? Now the stinger of death is the sin nature, that is, it produces our sin, and the power of sin is the law, that is, it reveals our sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 57. So we find Paul saying exactly the same thing in both books, and linking this initial resurrection of dead and living believers, in both cases, to the return of Christ. The shout of command. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. John chapter 5, verse 28. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. John chapter 11, verse 43. The archangel and his trumpet blast. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. After this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. These are signs of the gathering together of the faithful, both dead and alive, prophesied to occur at the return of the King. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Mark chapter 13, verse 27. Compare the Feast of Trumpets, which celebrates the predicted regathering of Israel at the Second Advent. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 through 25. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets. As an aroma pleasing to the Lord, offer a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, and seven male lambs a year old, all without defect. With the bull offer a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil, with the ram 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs 1/10. Include one male goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. These are in addition to the monthly and daily burnt offerings, with their grain offerings and drink offerings as specified. They are food offerings presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma. Numbers chapter 29, verse 1 through 6. The natural way to read the New Testament is that we are all looking forward to Christ's return and to receiving our reward and being resurrected at the time of His return. That is our blessed hope, to be with Him and to be like Him forevermore. Any other twist requires not only the twisting of scriptures, but of common sense about this very basic teaching as well.